I would like to thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and share God's Word. I have left the microphone off. If somebody in the back feels like you need me to wear it, I'll be glad to. I'm a school teacher. I'm known for having a loud voice. And I spoke at Mount Carmel when they first opened. And I don't think I didn't use the microphone there, and I don't think I needed it there. So if we see that I need it, I'll be glad to put it on. And I need to go back here. Our lesson tonight comes from Romans 8:37, where the writer says, "We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." And we're going to look at this idea tonight that we are more than conquerors. And when I think of conquerors throughout history, I think of several people. But let's look at the definition. A conqueror is someone who is victorious in warfare, someone who overcomes the enemy. Think about Alexander the Great. He went throughout the world at that time conquering everybody that he could and ended up taking in a large area. You also think of Attila the Hun throughout history as somebody who conquered a lot of lands, and Genghis Khan. You know, these are the ones that I think of when I think about history. But how about Joshua? Joshua in the Bible, and sometimes you hear that the book of Joshua is the book of conquest. And Joshua went about with the Israelites, with God's help, of course, and they conquered everybody inside because God was with them. As we read here in Joshua 6, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear the ark before the ark, 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man before him." So the people shouted in verse 20, when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Joshua was a conqueror, but he was doing it following God's word. Yeah, we can look at a lot of the lands that Joshua conquered and go to the book of Joshua. Throughout the book of Joshua, you read the stories of how Joshua conquered different places. And this is sort of a simulation picture. Since this happened back several thousand B.C., then you don't know exactly what it looked like. But you know, we get an idea about Jericho, and we know that people lived on the walls. But how about the greatest conqueror of all for us? Jesus Christ was a conqueror because he conquered something that makes it possible for all of us to have hope. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Here in Acts 2, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man appeared of God, approved of God among you by the miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I shall not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad, and moreover did my heart rejoice. And moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Think about Christ as a conqueror, because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And through his conquering death, hell, and the grave, we have hope. We have that great hope that one day we can live with him. This Jesus as God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. You know, the day of Pentecost, Peter and the apostles preaching to the people there and preaching to them about our Savior, who was our conqueror. So who is our enemy? 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the Word. In the world. Our enemy is Satan. Satan's out there. He wants to tempt us. He wants to use everything that he's got to come after us. So it's up to us in our conquest as Christians to overcome these things. James 4 and 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. 1 John 2 and 14, I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Our enemy is the wicked one, and he's throwing all kinds of darts at us. He comes at us from every vantage point. Turn on the TV. Yeah, I talk to my kids and I talk about, and the older ones will remember, we used to have three TV stations. We had ABC, CBS, and NBC, and you could turn it on any time of day, of course at midnight, Atlanta time. I think a lot of times you'd get that special little symbol that says, we're going off the air. Now you can go to ABC on Sunday night. Sunday night we watch this show about helping people. Show after it, Desperate Housewives. I've never watched the show. But it doesn't matter what time of day you turn on your TV, you get trash. It's not like watching the Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday night. I mentioned this to my kids one time. You didn't have BET? No, we didn't have BET. We didn't have TBS or anything else. But that's part of the things that Satan's throwing at us. I know Ben has brought a lesson at home about some of the things that's being offered. And I brought a similar lesson about, you know, things that are obstacles to us. So how can we resist the roaring lion? Physical strength doesn't help. So what strength is required? Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So we as Christians have to be strong in the Lord. We've got to add to our faith. We've got to build our faith. In 2 Peter 1, he says to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. And to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For these things being you in abound, they make you that you be neither barren, and I'm going to mess it up after that. But it makes us fruitful in the Lord. 2 Timothy 2 and 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So Christians that are strong in the Lord depend on the power of God. They depend on God to guide them. By the power of God, we can be victorious. In Deuteronomy 33 and 27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Psalms 98 and 10. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. So we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. God gives us the victory because he loves us. We read of the love of God in 1 John 2 and 15, the love of the Spirit in Romans 15 and 30, the love of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. 1 John 4 and 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God hath sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. It's because God loved us that we have this great hope and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Remember, Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. He came as a sacrifice. And you remember, as he was about to be crucified, he went to the Father, and let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. From the beginning of time, God knew that man was going to mess up. Yeah, at one point, Eden just washed the slate clean of all but eight souls. And those eight repopulated the earth. And now, you look at some of the things going on. Revelations 12 and 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. We overcame by the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives until death. Romans 8. And Romans 8 is one of my favorite chapters because there's so many things. And as we look at this, he says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Think about that. If God is for us, who's going to be against us? We've got people that are against us all the time. Joshua was able to conquer a lot of places because God was with him. Think about Job. Job was tempted, boiled from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? And his attitude was, blessed be the name of the Lord. I came into the world with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, or that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Satan can throw everything at us. It is up to us to be more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of all the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Wherefore, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, we will also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Nothing should be able to separate us from God. Nothing should be able to separate us from that love of Christ. We conquer through the power of God, through the power of the love of God that is within us. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We shouldn't be living to ourselves. We should be living unto God and to serving him. Romans 12 and 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, and in fact, this is one that I need to, and Alan probably knows how I feel, you know it, and sometimes you just do better to go and read it. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our life should be presented to God in his service. And that's how we do conquer Satan. Another one that I like with that is Luke 9 and 23. Christ says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Another version says, and take up his cross and follow me. I like this where he says, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Because that's what Christianity is about. It's about daily service. Jude, the 20th verse and 21st verse, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 5. And the Lord direct your hearts unto the love of God and unto the patient waiting for Christ. So what's he saying? Direct your hearts into the love of God. Ephesians 5 and 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love as Christ has loved us. 1 John 2 and 5, but whoso keepeth his word, In him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. We sing about walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We need to walk as he walked. 1 John 5 and 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, that he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? How can we expect to be a conqueror unless we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Revelations 2 and 10, and the next several will be from Revelations. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Think about the message that was sent to the 7 churches. And we know that 2 were faithful, and the rest of them, and he had some lukewarm, he had some that were plain cold. But throughout this, Christ encourages them to persevere, because there were great rewards awaiting them. Revelations 2 and 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So great blessings are promised to those who overcome. Revelations 2 and 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death, but they too shall conquer death. Revelations 2 and 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving that he receiveth it. Revelations 2 and 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of the potter, that shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Revelations 3 and 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name or blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That makes you want to be a conqueror. That makes you want to overcome the things of the world. Revelations 3 and 12, he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Revelations 3 and 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in that throne, or in my throne. Think about, we live our lives and we're working on conquering all that Satan has to throw at us. And sometimes you have worse days of it than others. Satan's still out there throwing darts. And you turn on the news and it's depressing because of all the stuff that goes on. And think about this verse where it says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me at my throne. Think about sitting at the throne of God, sitting with the angels of God, and singing praise to God all the time. That's what it's about. That's part of us being able to conquer the things of the world. That's part of us in our conquest. Because we're on a conquest. And our conquest is to be victorious. You know, God was with the Israelites as they went on conquest after conquest after conquest. And it's, you know, God, are you going to be with me? And David, God, will you be with me? And God replied back that he would. Well, God is with us. But we've got to be serving him. Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Remember, God's grace comes to us through the sacrifice of his son, and we can overcome. Our last two scriptures Second Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. So our weapons aren't carnal. The weapons of Satan are carnal. But our weapons are not. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that is our message for tonight. Tomorrow night, I'm going to talk about, and it's going to be about some different religions, and I hope to bring in some stuff about some ads that are on the Atlanta TV that are very misleading. Sunday, I'm going to talk about some excuses. And then close out Sunday afternoon with a lesson about Romans 8:28. To me, Romans 8:28, it was, I think, Danny's mom's favorite verse. Just from spending time with Martha. She used to love that verse, and it has a lot of meaning. So that's our hope throughout the weekend. Tonight, if there's anyone that has need of the gospel call, whether through obedience to the gospel or through restoration, at this time we bid you come.